Today's Issues continues on AFR.
Welcome back to Today's Issues. I am Tony Battagliano, filling in for Tim Wildman, who's out this week. In studio with me, I've got Ed Battagliano, and in the great state of Florida, we have Ray Pritchard, tuning in from Zoom land. And now, in the studio, we have Steve Paisley Jordahl. Welcome,
hey.
Steve.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Glad to be with you all.
Glad you're here with us.
I didn't get an adjective, though.
You know, I used it yesterday. That's what it was. I've got my notes because I'm terrified of being stuck without saying anything. So I've got some notes basically planned out here. And I have your adjective there, and I ended up using it yesterday.
You could call me sardonically splendorific.
Stupendous. The stupendous.
Now, sardonically,
Steve Jordahl.
That means, doesn't that mean like sarcastic?
No, that's sarcastically.
Oh, sarcastically.
Sardonically is something different.
Well, we'll go with stupendous. There we go. That one just came
stupendous.
To me. Stupendous.
That works.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
And that one is not an insult, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't get those mixed up. Well, Steve.
Yes, sir.
I'm sure there are other things to talk about.
No,
in the
you
news.
Guys, you guys covered the whole gamut of all the news.
Everything.
All right, so we can talk
done.
Hockey,
well,
right?
I'm done.
Yeah.
See you folks later.
Let's go to the house.
Yeah. All right. Why don't we start here? We have had we've been talking about AI for quite a while.
We have. Yep.
And Monday. The president has launched what he is calling the Genesis mission. And to say that this is a big deal, I think, is selling it short. he says in his executive order, he compares this to the Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
And others have compared it to the Apollo mission. It's the moonshot. This
right.
is the big deal. What he's doing is he is organizing America's artificial intelligence resources. Private companies mm-hmm. are going to be helping out, all the government research, all the colleges, and those kind of things. And they're going to be basically pushing and pulling in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose is to unleash, I'm reading from the executive order, a new age of AI-accelerated innovation and discovery that can solve the most challenging problems of the century. And frankly, they're doing it because they're afraid that the Chinese might beat us to the punch.
Bingo. Yeah, I think this is wise to work with these private companies. You know, you've got the some of these tech giants like Google, NVIDIA, Microsoft, OpenAI, to work with these companies, pull them together, and use their research, and backed by the resources of the United States. The Department of Energy is a big backer of,
they're driving it.
Yeah, so using our resources to basically beat China in the AI race. I mean, you mentioned the space race. That was our accelerated attempt to beat. We wanted to beat the Soviets into
right.
space, right? We wanted to beat
well,
them
there.
Well,
they beat us into space. We wanted to beat them to the moon.
To the moon, yes. Thank you. So this is our space race. So
I think a lot of people kind of view this as like I'm pulling for the Cowboys over the Redskins or something like that. It's way more important than this because whoever controls and gets the jump on AI gets to set the rules for globally.
That's
and,
right.
And it also, it's not, we think of AI as kind of the ChatGPT you ask
yeah.
it. It's a nice little fun toy to play with, right? But it's more than that. AI is going to be useful in all kinds of things from medicine to military. And the
yep.
military is where a lot of people have concern. I talked to Colonel Bob McGinnis, who most of us know as a Pentagon analyst who's mm-hmm. a good foreign policy, military kind of voice, but he has been writing on artificial intelligence. He has his first book that's already been published. It's called AI for Mankind's Future. He's got two more, and these books, this one deals with AI as it is now and everything, but these books are moving toward the theological implications of artificial intelligence. How do we deal as a church? What happens? Anyway, I did talk to him, and this is what he had to say about this moonshot Genesis mission, cut 14.
AI-driven scientific discovery
has grave national security implications, as well as the U.S. technological leadership across the world. The intent is to really respond to what the Chinese are doing with their civil-military fusion projects on all technologies, especially artificial intelligence. It's going to help us to write. It's going to help our medical community. It's going to help education. It's going to help retail. We're going to have the Alexas, but the Alexas are going to keep getting smarter. I do believe that we will eventually get to something like artificial general intelligence, which is smarter than we are, and we can harness it.
Yeah, that last is a profound hope.
We still have a ways to go.
It's already smarter than we are, right?
Yeah. Ed, what do you think about Bob McGinnis's comments? Do you think there are more benefits than drawbacks as we keep pressing forward in the AI race, or do you think it's going to be
like technology has always been, especially the last 100 years, and especially maybe the last 25 or so? But certainly, like when we use the example of the Manhattan Project, nuclear weapons, we had to get nuclear weapons. Well, the Nazis were working on it. We got their scientists. Mm-hmm. And then we beat the Soviets too, but the Soviets got it. And now there's half dozen nations, maybe more, that have nuclear weapons. But there was also nuclear energy. And so when you have new developments in technology, you can go down maybe multiple paths. Mm-hmm. Some are good, some are bad. I think that there's great potential for AI. And the thing is about technological innovation, you can't put the genie back in the bottle.
Right.
You've got to figure out a way to live with the technological jump that has occurred, because you've got countries like China that are jumping in to the research and are going to get there. And so you want to make sure, same thing in space with the ability with anti-satellite missiles. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to put a satellite up. What if the Chinese start knocking them down?
It's always measure, countermeasure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would just toss in, we don't have to go down this path necessarily, but when you mentioned, Steve, theological implications. So yesterday, Steve, now we've been kidding around about this, but you asked AI, some program, to create a song about Ed Vitagliano.
Right.
Using all the Italian tropes you can think of.
That's what I said. That was the prompt, yes.
So I was playing this for my wife. Mm-hmm. I sent it to my sisters. It was hilarious, okay? But I told my wife, Diane, I said, and I told my sisters this. I said, you know, the top song on the country charts was AI generated. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, what about... do you think churches will ever use AI-produced worship songs? Mm-hmm. And I thought, that sounds demonic. Mm-hmm. You want, and the intent is for human beings to work with the Spirit of God and rely on the giftings of the Holy Spirit to create songs that give praise to God. You can't turn that over to AI, but these are the kinds of questions we're all going to have to ask.
And that's what Bob is chasing. And Ray, I kind of wanted to ask you, because we've been comparing this to the Manhattan Project and to the space launch. Maybe the Tower of Babel would be a good comparison.
That's good, Steve. Yeah.
And how did that work out?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I mean, it looked so good. It was such a nice thing they built there, right?
Yes.
I mean, for a while there, it gave us so much hope. But, well, Steve, what do you think about the music of this fella, Solomon Ray?
Fella in quotes.
Yeah, right.
Explain what that is.
Yes. Solomon Ray, you mentioned the country charts. This guy, the country chart was a specific chart which was kind of AstroTurf. They put money, it's how many downloads were bought.
Right.
No one buys downloads, so somebody decided to pay about $3,000 so that they could hit the top of this chart.
Okay.
However, there is Solomon Ray, who is an AI-generated artist and album that is now topping the
gospel
charts, and these are the main charts.
Right.
Ed has the question, which is, can a machine write a spirit-filled song? It has every single hymn and praise song and Christian contemporary song that's ever been written. And it looks at all those. It looks at the turns of phrases. It has a way to weight words and meanings. And it can put together something that, for all the world, looks like, theologically, well, sound song. It looks like a Christian song. Mm-hmm. Now, ChatGPT or these apps at this point are making a whole lot of errors. So you have to, I would say that you might be able to tell if the theology is really squirrely. It's either, an Episcopalian song or it's AI.
Well, here we go.
But
they deserve that comment.
But it's going to get better. Yeah. And everything. So
so this guy has a picture, right? This Solomon Ray has a picture. I mean, he's a nice-looking guy.
Is friendly. He in a dress? Yes.
No. You know, according to his, he has a Spotify profile. Yeah. I mean, this AI-generated singer who exists only inside the computer's brain or however you want to say that. But his music is shot to the top of the Christian charts. And the Spotify profile calls him, quote, a Mississippi-made soul singer carrying a Southern soul revival into the present. And that's pretty cool, right? And you look at the picture. What I'm saying is, this is really good stuff. I mean, good in the sense of, oh, man.
Well, it's done. Catchy. Oh, man.
Yes. Yes.
Well, let me just toss something out. I know we don't have to spend more time on this.
This is good.
But I do like these kinds of conversations. This question about, I mean, the way you put it, can an AI program, I guess program is the right way to say it, right? A program create a spirit-filled song. We are going to get to the place where robotics combined with AI and combined with other technologies are going to produce what looks like real people.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And there's some question about whether guys who can't get girlfriends are going to date robots.
Well, they're already falling in love with the ChatGPT.
Yeah. So you start going to the heart of what it means to be human.
Right.
And what it means to have relationships. And in this case, what it means to actually worship God and the source. Listen, you remember back when Christian rock hit the scenes with the Jesus people, and to this day you have people who say, "No, you got a drum set and a electric guitar and a bass. Mm-hmm. That is not worship music.
Right.
You got to X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
You already had those arguments." Now, what if AI or AI creates a sermon?
Yeah, well, and let me put this into the mix, too, because we've already have, there's been several artists who, let's just say real true artists who were not who they said they were.
Like Milli Vanilli or something?
Well, no, I mean like artists who proposed to be Christian, but their lives turned out to be not, bad or evil people who posed at some point. I was listening to a podcast that talked about this guy that used to be, said he was a Satanist and became a Christian comedian and everything. But so we already
have, you're talking about.
Yeah, we already have songs that were written. When they were written, we all use them as worship songs, and then the guy that wrote them turned out to be not who he said or she said she was.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Does that take away? Now is the song invalid? And so does that port over to this whole discussion?
That's part of the debate over Hillsong's worship songs and some of those groups. People say, well, I don't like the theology of that church. And others say, well, the music really brings me into a place of worship. Let me just toss this out, and then I don't want to talk about it necessarily, but what about if you can't find a pastor? You have an AI person on screen. You already have multi-campus churches where the pastor's on screen preaching an AI-generated sermon.
Yeah.
I mean, this is kind of bizarre world, but can you be ministered to by the Word of God preached by a quote-unquote pastor who doesn't really exist?
I don't know, but if you accept Christ under that, when you die, you go to the metaverse, not to heaven. So.
Ray, help us navigate some of this. How should Christians approach this?
We're just on the front end of this, Tony. We're just on the front end. I mean, and it's coming to us like a tidal wave,
it is.
Right? it's coming at us so fast. It's hard to know how to answer some of these questions. But I will tell you this. Let me throw this out to the panel. I was doing some.
So you're not
going to
answer anything.
It's bringing so many questions, but I'm going to throw a few more out there. Yeah,
I'm going to throw another one out there just to muddy the water even further. The two places I go, I go to chat, and then I go to Grok, which is which is the, you know, the Twitter version, right? And I was talking to Grok, I guess, and I was, this was some months ago, but I was working on a sermon series on Genesis 4 and 5, and I find it very interesting to use a bot, I guess is what you call it, use Grok and say, okay, what did Martin Luther have to say about this passage? What did John Calvin have to say? I mean, you can get an unbelievable amount of information really, really fast. And also I found Grok's good for sermon titles. I spend a lot of time thinking about my sermon titles, and Grok will come up with a dozen in a millisecond. And so I said, well, I'm going down here. As a matter, I was coming down here to Florida, Word of Life, Florida, to speak on this in the spring. And I'd been going back and back and forth, typing my questions in and getting the answers. At the end, Grok said, you know, Ray's going to be great, going to do fine. And I guess they kind of programmed those bots to be very encouraging. You're going to be fine. People are going to love it.
You're doing awesome.
You're doing, that's right. Yeah. It's very affirming, right?
Yeah.
And at the end it said, Grok said, I'm going to be praying for you.
Oh, no.
No, are you really? Kidding?
No. Yes, that's exactly right. That what? Is exactly right.
That's bizarre.
So
to whom?
Yeah. So
how? How? I don't know.
Our Elon, who art in heaven.
I think with AI, Christians are going to have to, as we have had to for centuries, we're going to have to rely, as it sounds Sunday schoolish and cliche, you're going to have to rely on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Christians are going to have to be devoted to searching the Scriptures for themselves. So if you think about it, we've had similar, you mentioned like the AI pastor, or you go into, you know, consulting AI for Christian counsel, you know, or AI producing Christian worship songs. We've had these, I feel like we've had these moments of transition in different eras already as Christians, and I'll just use a few here in America. So shifting from smaller congregations, smaller communities to larger churches, you know, mega churches.
Yeah.
You know, led by one person, you know, the pastor. And, you know, that is not necessarily the model that was laid out in the New Testament for the early church. So Christians have had to figure out, okay, we have this one person who we're every Sunday listening to in his sermon, and we're, you know, what he's telling us, and we have to decide, will we accept what he tells us wholesale, no questions asked, or will we go and turn to the Scriptures for ourselves to discern and judge what this figurehead is saying, whether it's biblical or not? I think something similar to that is the mindset we're going to have to develop as Christians in dealing with AI. Can you use AI to help you with your sermon? Absolutely. If you go to AI to get a devotional for the day, you know, give me a devotional on, you know, Acts chapter 13. I'm just throwing that out there, and it gives you one. As a Christian, you have the ability to just, you can either accept it wholesale that what this AI and the people who programmed it is telling you is true, or you can turn to the Scripture and go see for yourself and study for yourself and discern as to whether what it's telling you is in accordance with God's Word or not. I think we're coming up on something similar. Now, there are farther reaching implications to me, you know, and some of these questions, obviously, I'm not answering 100%, but the Word of God always has to be your foundation. You should always be going back to that, no matter how far the technology advances, no matter if there's an AI Paul that you can go talk to, you know, with a generated face and ask him questions. If that AI Paul starts telling you something that you might not think is biblical, you need to go read the Bible and see what Paul actually said.
Didn't the real Paul actually say something similar? If we or someone else preaches you a gospel that's contrary
Angel
to this, let them
heaven.
Be
yeah.
That's right.
Let them be cursed, or however that
yeah.
played out.
That's
but
right. Right.
Check the scripture. Paul himself, who wrote the scripture, says check the scriptures. I also wanted to I know we probably spend the rest of the time on this, but I wanted. Bob McGinnis mentioned something called artificial general intelligence at the end of this. We may be getting there. And it's a definition I think we need to know. Right now, everything AI is a specific task. We give it a task. We ask ChatGPT a question. It gives us the answer to that question. One application might be to diagnose diseases from, you know, that's
right.
It's a task that specific thing was given, or plan a traffic pattern for a city. It does tasks. Artificial general intelligence has some different features. It will be able to perform any intellectual task a human can, not just those narrow specialized tasks. It can take knowledge learned in one domain and apply it to a completely different domain. It will be able to learn new skills or concepts without being specifically trained for those tasks. It can reason abstractly, solve novel problems, and plan long term. It can operate in an unfamiliar situation and environment, and it can enhance its own ability over time. That is artificial general intelligence. We're not quite there, at least publicly, but we're getting there. And that's when it becomes smarter than us, and that's when we start wondering who's going to be driving who.
Well, and so with AGI, I mean, some of the more positive aspects I see definitely of these advancements in AI is you could have an AGI who could find a cure for cancer. I mean, to me, that's a positive development from something, because this AI, it's just day in and day out, like you mentioned, referencing across different studies, referencing across different fields, combining all of its combined, you know,
and reasoning.
And reasoning. And it could develop a cure for cancer. To me, that is an example of where a positive direction this could go, for sure. So, yeah, I don't want us to be, I'm not trying to, you know, we want to balance scaring people from AI and saying that it's evil, and you know that it's you know, a form of the beast, and we also want to balance you know, encouraging people that it is there will be positive developments that will come from it.
Every time I interview somebody on this, I ask the same question: are we headed towards a Star Trek world or a Terminator world?
Yeah,
that's
a good way of viewing it.
I read an article.
What's the answer?
Yeah. Everybody's Ray,
give us another question to throw on top of it.
Right.
I read an article just a year or two ago that put this forward. Now, how about this as an idea? They said, if we ever get to the AGI, artificial general intelligence, why do we need politicians?
Hey,
you just ask the computer what we should do about our. Like you mentioned traffic patterns.
Oh yeah.
That it's going to do all the research.
Yep.
What do we do about the fishing off the coast within our own borders? And you don't need politicians, because the AGI is going to be smarter and less influenced by money.
If you ever needed a convincing case on why we need AGI, there's one of them right there.
Eagle Eye.
Yes, it's a great movie.
That's a quick way to get politicians to legislate AI out of existence. Yeah. Why do we need you again? Folks, that's all we have time for today. It is Thanksgiving week. We hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. Remember that we always have something to be thankful for, and that our contentment should flow from our love for Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and we have more great programming ahead for you.
Tony, you did a great job this week.
I got to say, praise the Lord. Thank you.
Bravo.